I'd look over here and there'd be hands raised. There'd be people worshiping, shaking under the power, you know. And of course, Brother Caleb got a great blessing. And the night before, it seemed like to me we didn't just get as far along as we needed to get. So, but last night I felt really satisfied with the way the Lord helped us. The night before, I enjoyed the service. I really did. And I go over there praying. And somewhere along I was praying for those that were in here praying, seeking the Lord at first. And that kind of settled down. But Sister Trish was up there playing the piano. And I don't know who was on the bass, but it was just right. It just had that good, solid, wasn't too loud. It's just the drums, everything just blending in. And over here, some young lady was speaking with tongues. And I got such a blessing, just the atmosphere. Just over there kneeling in prayer, that atmosphere, you know. It's just a wonderful thing. Then last night, the choir got up here and they got singing. What's that song they sang? Anybody, does it have a title? Yeah, what about it? Well, anyway, it talks about the river, doesn't it? Well, I got up and I thought, you know, Brother Randy talked about, you know, worshiping him in song, and I really believe in that. And some songs are not worshipful, and that's right, too. And so I thought, now, should I get in at this or not? And I'll tell you the reason why. I'm a little hard hearing. And you young people, you got to sing. When you say rivers, put a V in there, rivers. I thought you were saying rhythm. I got the rhythm. You know? So when you do it, say, rivers. Rivers. For you old people, rivers. Amen. So I finally got past that and got over that hurdle. So I was listening. I looked at Joe. I said, is that 4/4 time? And he thought, yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Okay, I can get on that, I said. And then about that time, my old boy started walking up that bass. Yeah. I ain't going to tell you what kind of beat, but I know that. I know what kinds of people use that type of bass. Yeah. Yeah. And I happen to just love it. I said, I believe I'll get in on this. Because he wasn't drowning out nobody. You hear singing and everything. But just that walk of that bass. If I mean, I'm telling you. I said, I believe I'll just get in. I just hollered as loud as I could. And got in. Amen. Praise the Lord. Had a great time. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't even know. Somebody wrote some notes down here, but I don't know who he was. But it don't look like I know. It don't look very much for me. But anyway, just enjoyed it. And the preaching this morning I thought was great. And the only thing could have made it better, if you would have come in around the altar and just worship God. I don't know. It seems like what I have this is such a simple thing, but I know this is what the Lord wants me to preach on, and I'm going to stay with what I'm preaching on. You know what I'm saying? I don't mean to, but I remember years ago, I can't even think of his name, but he's an older preacher, and he got up. He's from Kentucky, and he got to preach, and he's just preaching along. Kind of had a way of saying things. Pretty soon he looked at us, and he said, "You don't have to say, man. I know where I'm at." Well. That shook me. Amen. Brother Wilson, not Vince Wilson. His name was Wilson, I believe. Remember, right? Huh? No, wasn't Buster. I think Wilson was his first name. I'm not sure. Huh? Harmon. Wilson Harmon. You're right. Amen. You don't have to amen me. I know where I'm at. Boy, I love that. Amen. That stuck with me. I don't think I ever dared to repeat it. That's right. Amen. All right, I'm not going to keep you long. I really ain't, because I don't want to take an hour. I don't even want to. Like I said, I may not preach well, but I'm still on this apostasy. There's marks of apostasy. Certain things that you can see that tells you that apostasy is in our churches or trying to get into our churches. Amen. We have examples if we'll just take it. All we got to do is go uptown and go down to the churches, the denominational churches that at one time had the victory and the power and the presence of God, and see where they're at today. And we can just say, but if we aren't careful, we'll look at them and go the same direction they're going. You know, I told you yesterday, I read to you where the Bible said that there are certain men crept in, and I preached on the fact ungodly men. These are those that defile the flesh, their conversation, the things they think about, the books they read, everything goes wrong with Matthew 5:19-20. And not only do they defile the flesh, but the prime example is Cain. That's in the book of 11, verse 11. Cain was the one that perverted the worship of God. He decided what he had beat what God had said. Amen. By faith, Abel offered unto God, but Cain didn't buy that. And I want to just say that any time that, you know, we all want to preach good. You don't lie to me. You know you do, and I do too. We all want to be accepted. We all want to sing well. We want our music to sound good. If I could play like Paul Blanton, I'd probably backslide. But anyway, or else I'd give him guitar lessons or something. I don't know. Anyway, I'm just talking about, you know, we want to do good. But any time that becomes foremost, we are perverting the worship of God. Now, I read to you where the Bible says, whether it be to drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And Herod could kill James, but he couldn't take the glory from God. God could allow him to kill James. But he made a speech, and they said, that's God. And he didn't correct that statement. God killed him right there. Amen. So I'm talking about worship. And I'm really afraid that worship, we have a perversion of worship in our singing, in our music. I'm afraid that it's happening because somehow we're failing to promote Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to say this, Brother Paul, and I'm not against what you all did. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it kind of bothers me that you'll count my amens and my message and discard them as filler words, then you'll put it to music and get up and it's all right. I knew I wouldn't get no amens on that. I'm just saying, if we can pitch it to music, it's all right. And there again, I'm not against saying glory, 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 glory. I'm not against putting it in music. But when we get to the part, we just want to show how much we can vary our voices and our music. We are not worshiping God. When we worship God, we do everything to His glory. Amen. And I read to you, and I know I'm repeating myself, but I feel the necessity of doing it. I read to you that another example is, there's three examples, three marks. And even in Romans, it talked about this, and I read it to you yesterday. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man and the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. They perverted the worship of God. And I mention that not necessarily do I see these things here as idols that they worshiped, but they moved God to the place where He had the intelligence of man. He had the attractiveness of a bird. Now you say, I don't see that. But if you read in the book of Job in the 41st chapter, if I've got it here, it's on the Old Testament, I know that, but I may have a little trouble finding it here. 41st chapter, I said I had it there. Let me look here and see, amen. It's talking about can you catch this huge beast, whatever it was? Some says it's a crocodile. Some says it's a whale. It doesn't matter. It's just something that was just, a man couldn't catch him with a fish hook. And one of the things that God asked Job, it said this when he asked him that, he said, wilt thou play with him as a bird? Wilt thou bind him for thy maidens? Is he just a plaything? Is that what God is, just a plaything? I hope I'm not wearing you out, but just think about that. And then if you would, I'll just turn over to James, the third chapter, and read to you there from James 3 and give you a little more on that. Amen. I'm trying to talk to you this morning about something I'm very serious about. Amen. The Bible said, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents out of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. And man right now is exalted, prideful self is trying to tame God. Amen. We're trying to put him in our position. As I said before yesterday, amen, four-footed beast. He's one that we look at and we think that he thinks like we do. In one place he said, you think that I think like you. Amen. He said that. In the book of, I think it's the book of Psalms, I don't remember. It just comes to me. But you think that I think like you do. Because you think something, you think I think that. And then he looked at this and we talk about, as I said before, the bird. And we look at him and then when he, four-footed beast. The bird, beast of burden, we get to the place where if we get in trouble, we call on God. But if we don't get in trouble, we just go on without God. We can do whatever we want to do. We see him as a beast of burden. He's only someone that we need to turn in prayer requests for once in a while. And if that doesn't work, amen, and after it does work, then it says, and creeping things, the way of the serpent on the rock, we say we don't know him. We say, well, this translation here, this writing in the Bible is spurious. It's not really real. It's just someone put it in there. This is a myth. This is that. This is something else. We can't know God. This is written by men and they just made mistakes like we do. And so we have nothing to anchor to, nothing to put our hold on. And so I don't care what you say, the way you worship God will tell me something in the direction you're going. Huh? The way you worship God. When you get the place when you promote, when I get the place where I feel like that my preaching is the only preaching on the earth, amen? And I'm the only one who can do it. When I get to that place, then I've got to the place that I am not worshiping God. I may preach like an angel. I may sing like a mockingbird. Amen. I may have people come to the altar, but I am not worshiping God. Paul said, that's while I preach to others, I myself become a castaway. You understand? Amen. Praise God. We need something to make us to realize God demands that we give him proper worship. And one of the signs of apostasy is when the fact that we become ungodly men. For me to get up here and to claim to preach to you and say, thus saith the Lord, and the Lord has spoke to me, and he hath not spoken, and the Lord hath given me a dream, and I hath not dreamed, amen. I am an ungodly man. I don't care what the results are. I'm ungodly. I know that's not good preaching, but that's the truth anyway. Amen. I'm talking to you, the first mark of a church going into apostasy will show up in your worship. It'll show up there. And that includes, amen, your daily living, your daily life, how you conduct yourself. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. And once you begin to lose out in worship, and once the devil begins to move you away from worship, I don't have to get up front like those people and shout and carry on. Did you used to? What was wrong with it then? Huh? Amen. I admit I can't shout and run like I used to. But there was a time I ran. Huh? Hallelujah. And I still run. It just my feet won't follow. Huh? Hallelujah. Amen. What I'm saying is, we get older and I realize we kind of slow down. I can't help that. You can't help that. But there's one thing about it. We can still be an inspiration by the way we get in and serve God. Amen? I'm talking about worshiping the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to lift your hands and praise Him and adore Him and just wonderfully be blessed by Him. Now, I'll tell you, it's a wonderful thing just to be out, amen, and thank Him for this everything that you see that's beautiful in this old world. Amen? Praise God. Huh? Hallelujah. Praise God. When I look at the world and I see it, the world didn't make this, God didn't make this world for me to just look at it lightly. There's a scripture I read one time that really blessed me, and I don't know that I can read it for you, find it even. Amen. But the Bible says in the 4th chapter of the book of Revelation, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That means everyone that is highly intelligent. That means everyone that's somewhat deficient. That means every baby that's born in this world. Amen. That means if you're born even out of wedlock, you were created for His pleasure. Amen. You may not have a good background. You may not have a good genealogy, but you were created for His pleasure. Amen. The drunk stumbling down the street, he may look funny. He may be something that you can smile at, but remember this, there is a God in heaven that created him for His pleasure. It's for God's pleasure that they were made. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so we comfort the feeble-minded. We do. Why? Because they were created for God's pleasure. Amen. Whenever America goes to the throne, great white throne judgment, amen, God will call into account all the millions of babies that was created for His pleasure, and they killed them. I'm talking about worshiping God. I'm talking about the first step we show. Amen. Is in our worship of God. Now, I think I'm ready to move on. The next step is the Bible said, not only these other gods, amen, it says they turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. The next thing that comes after perversion of worship is a perversion of morals. That'll always follow. When a church starts going down the drain, when it starts moving away from the proper worship of God, the morals, what do I say? The level of morals will drop, amen, to go along with it. The Bible said there, they turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. And the Bible said the 8th verse, they speak evil of dignities. They set at naught anything that will stand in their way. And the Bible said they have gone greedily or ran greedily after the error of Balaam. That's the next step, a perversion of morals. When the church starts to go into apostasy, there will be a change in the way we look at morality. Huh? Just think about Balaam. He was one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament, one of the greatest. He was a great that the king of Moab heard of him, and Balaam lived miles and miles and miles away from that king. They had no radio, they had no television, they had no telephone, but he had been such an influence in his country. He was a Gentile prophet, if you please. Amen. He was a Gentile prophet. But the Bible said greed was in his heart. Greed was in his heart. So, the king of Moab called for him and wanted him to come and curse the children of Israel. He said, for I perceive that whosoever you curse are cursed. But when he got there, amen, I like this about it. In the book, the Bible tells that finally they sent him gifts and he said, I can't do it. God said he can't go. Amen. But he sent him better gifts. Oh, they got a hold of him. And the Bible said, and I read that, I was reading it this morning, and I thought it's kind of funny, you know, how we work God around. And I was reading there in the Numbers of 22nd chapter, I believe it was. And the Bible said that God said, if the men come and call you, rise up and go with them. But the next verse said, and Balaam rose up in the morning and sat his ass and with the princes. Don't say a thing in the world about them calling him. Huh? He's like a lot of preachers, you know, whenever we get money on our minds. He probably got up next morning and said, now, boys, you want me to fix your breakfast before you go, and just in case, well, you going with us? Oh, yeah, I've got my mule already saddled. Amen. Huh? He may have put words in her mouth to get to go, because the Bible said God's anger was kindling, you know. And yet God used him. He knew the value. He'd never studied under Moses. He'd never studied under anybody. He didn't know Abraham. He didn't know anything about them except maybe being influenced by years back by someone else. But he knew the value of seven altars, seven bullocks. He knew all of it. And whenever he studied God's people, he studied them from the forefront and he couldn't curse them. He studied them from the back and they couldn't curse them. He set them on their journey. He couldn't curse them. Amen. When they settled down at night, he looked at that group and they set their tent, every one of them. And the old ancient rabbis tell us that God had those people to place those tents in such a way that every tent was protected by modesty. You couldn't look in the doorway and see what was going on. There was no immodesty. They claimed that's the way it was. And I'm persuaded we was. And he couldn't curse them. Amen. And finally, He gave such a wonderful testimony. He gave the most wonderful prophecy of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ of any prophet I know of in the Old Testament. But then the Bible said he turned around because he was greedy and loved money. He gave the king some advice. He said, if you can get the daughters of Moab to seduce those men of Israel, you can cause God's curse to come upon you. And there came a day when the Midianites had to pay for their sin, and Balaam died because of the advice he gave them. Woe to them. Amen. He did ruin the morals of Israel. The Bible said that God did curse them because of morality. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You think God ain't looking down on us? Amen. You don't think God's paying any attention, young people, when we go to youth camps and we take pictures of the other in an undressed state and send it over the girls' dorm or send it over the boys' dorm? I'm telling you, amen, that you may shout, you may sing, but God doesn't call that worship, because you're moving in the direction of apostasy. Your morals are going down the drain. Hallelujah. Look what the Bible said in the book of Romans. The Bible said, wherefore? Because of the change of worship. Because of the perversion of worship. Wherefore, the next step, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. God gave them up. Oh, it's a terrible thing. I remember Brother Ernie Edwards used to sing, Brother Ralph Horton. I don't know if you remember him or not. I'm sure you do. But he used to sing that song, the downward road is crowded with the unbelieving souls. I never met that. He'd sing and weep over the fact that people are going the wrong direction. I'm talking to you this morning about the fact that we need to realize that God is God. We've got to worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. We can't say because I'm from King Mountain Church, it's all right. We can't say that we're because we live on Brown's Ridge or Kent's Ridge or whatever ridge, it's all right. Amen. Because God is a spirit and he seeks us to worship him in spirit and in truth. Be honest with yourself and worship God. He'll go a long way with a person that's trying and being honest. But God has very little use, because he said the hypocrite's hope will perish. And brother, God can't stand hypocrites and he can't put up with them and he won't put up with them. If you're honest and you're struggling with things, God will put up with you. He'll work with you. He'll see you through to victory. But if you're trying to go around the other way, if you're trying to deceive God, you'll not make it. Why do we change in our morals? Because we feel like we've got God figured out. I remember years ago, reading in the Reader's Digest, and the man said, a God that's small enough for me to understand is not big enough for me to worship. And yet we've reduced him to that. Amen. We've reduced him to that. I remember a man uptown was a businessman in Thayer. And the Methodist preacher was running around on his wife. Amen. And he said to him something about this wasn't right. Talk to that Methodist preacher. He said, he quoted the Bible, everything's good and nothing be refused. That sounds strange, don't it? We don't can't believe that man would say that. But could I tell you, just a few years ago, a holiness preacher that's preached for me and preached in camp meeting, youth camps, and done a wonderful job, amen, took the Bible and seduced young people and gave them scripture for what they were doing. I'm talking to you about morals. I'm talking about morality. I'm not preaching this, so I'd like to, but I want to, amen. I like to preach, amen. They set a thought aside any type of restraintment that will keep them from that because they're going down that way. They're going that direction. Oh, my, amen. God gave them up, amen. The Bible didn't say that God gave them up for pleasure. He said the Bible said that God gave them up through the lust of their heart to dishonor. Yeah. Do you get that word? Dishonor their own bodies. I'm trying to preach to you. I am preaching. I am preaching. I'm preaching this morning. When I looked at it yesterday, I told you, amen, about the church that looks like that is glorifying God is a church that's in the business of social change. Amen. They socially do this and they take care of that. And I read to you from the book of that church of Jezebel's, how that works was the main thing that they had to promote themselves with. And that whenever God came to Philadelphia, amen, he didn't have anything to say except, that's a little strength that's kept my word and not denied my name. That's enough. Amen. You don't depend on your own self. You realize you can't get it done. When you step into the pulpit preacher, you know that you can't do it if God don't come by. You know that you don't have the education, the background. You don't have the things that you need to get up and make a speech. You can't prepare good. Most of us couldn't outline a message if we had to for our life. Amen. So you get up and you say, oh God, if you don't stand by me, I'm a mess. I'm ruined. And I'll never help nobody. I'll never touch nobody. I'm not here to just make your hearts feel, amen, tingly and funny. The Bible said in the last days, they would heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Oh yes, amen. The Bible tells us, Peter said this, there in the second chapter of the book of Peter. And I want you to notice this. And here's the thing we got to watch. I'm talking about apostasy. And the Bible said in 2 Peter, the first chapter, and I'll read it to you there right quickly. There were false prophets among the people. Even there shall be false teachers among you who privately shall bring in damnable hearsay. That's it, amen. If we aren't careful, my friend, and I don't like to say this, and I'm not rendering any suspect. I don't have any person in mind. I don't know any young preacher that's guilty, but if we aren't careful, the hour we live in, when we see our worship degenerating and going down the wrong direction. If we notice that there's a difference in worship, if a man gets up and preaches one thing, amen, and gets out in the public and tells you a joke that makes you blush, amen, you better watch that man. Amen, he's going in the wrong direction. That's a sign of apostasy. Ungodly men. It's not what he said in the pulpit, amen, but it's what he said out there. Holiness preachers that tell jokes, amen, that are off color and that Akali, amen, would fit better with the world than you. They're ungodly. You hear me? They're ungodly.
Hallelujah.
But if we aren't careful, you see, in the book of 2 Peter, they're saying the right thing in the pulpit. It's when they get out away from the pulpit. You got to watch them. You know what I mean? Hallelujah. Well, you know, amen. He's old. He don't understand today's generation. Huh? He don't understand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What's wrong with us? I know I'm as old as Brother Ralph is. I may be a little older. I can't remember which one of us oldest. But I remember up at Tulsa, Brother Ralph, and he was preaching. And I was crying out in my soul. I said, oh, God, let him give the altar call. I got to get to the altar. Amen. Preach me right into the altar. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can we forget that? Can we turn that aside? Amen. Yes, he's a lot older than he was when I first met him because we met years ago. Amen. But what about the anointing? What about the presence of God? What about the power of God? Amen. Oh, yes. They get in, they say the same things. They say what they parrot us what we say. But when they get out, they begin to sow discord. They begin to tell things that even calls in question your ability and your anointing and whether you're really in touch with reality anymore or not. Brother, the best thing we can do is look at history and realize this ought to teach us something. Amen. You just look from the Reformation to right now and where we are right now and go to those churches. And you look, and like I said, the Methodist church pastor, amen, he used the Bible to prove that he ought to be out there running around. God didn't care if he got up and run around as long as he got up and told them the Bible on Sunday morning. Amen. And we don't have to have Sunday night services just so I do that. But God is interested in morality. He's a moral God. Amen. There's another scripture I think I want to use, and I'm about through. I really am. I'm talking about a perversion of morals. Two steps that we've mentioned. A perversion, first of all, of worship. The minute God can get you to cool off, or devil can get you to cool off and get you moving away from getting in and worshiping God, he's moving you in the right direction. Did you know that? For him. Amen. He's moving you in that direction of perversion, amen, of worship. He keeps moving you away from that. Look at them. They settle down. They get cold. And they say, well, I don't have to do that. Then they don't have to go to church. They say, Wednesday night can we miss on that. Sunday night we can miss. Sunday morning. And then finally once a month. And then finally once a year. And then finally none at all. It all started when you started moving away from worshiping God. Amen. Amen. Whenever someone says something about to you, amen, you forget to give God the glory. Someone says, well, the Lord is, well, you've been blessed, boy, you've made a lot of money, or whatever. You say, well, it's only God. Hallelujah. It's only God. If you're here this morning and you're well off, it's only God. Give him the glory. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning and you don't have a penny, but you know how to touch God, give him the glory. Hallelujah. I don't have money, but it's the poor that are rich in faith. Oh, I wish I could get that across to you, my friend. Amen. How we need poor people. Amen. And the poo-poos. Amen. That knows how to touch God. Why do they know how to touch God? Because they know that only God can help them. I told this so many times. I don't say my mother was an outstanding, holiest woman as holiness is concerned. I'm not, she wasn't Baptist, she was Pentecostal, but I remember a lot about holiness about as far as she is concerned. But I do remember one thing. I remember her worship. I remember her prayers. I remember how God moved. My sister just won a prize at Sedalia, Missouri. Her daughter works up there, and hundreds of essays were sent in, and they asked her to write one, and she wrote one on, I can't remember now what the name was. They entitled it One of 13 Children, because my sister was the middle one. And she told about how one morning, amen, she got up a child. She was 5 years old. I was 1 year old. Went in the kitchen and mom was crying. It would have been about the time dad had tuberculosis, and went in there and mom was crying. Amen. And she was crying because we had no money. No, dad wasn't sick. He was up at that time. Amen. But we had no money. We had no food. And mom was crying. She said that was a no-no. Mom never cried, hardly ever. Amen. Sometimes we'd gone, according to her, I remember being hungry, but I don't remember this. But she said, she's 4 years older than I am, she said sometimes we'd go as high as 3 days without any food. And that morning, mom was crying. And she said, she looked at mama, and mama, what's wrong, mama? She said, mama said, I don't have any food in the house, don't have nothing. Amen. And so she said, well, that's all right. We're not hungry. She said, me and Charles will go out and play. And she took that little one-year-old boy and led him by the hand outside to play. And we're outside to play and looked up and saw an old pickup coming down through the field. And it was Mr. Barry and his old pickup. He had a store down there at Fryett, Arkansas. Amen. He's coming across the field. He got out and dad got out. Dad had a sack of potatoes and a sack of flour and a gallon bucket of red syrup. He went to the mailbox that morning. Aunt Villa, mom's sister, had sent him a letter, said $2. Can you imagine $2 buying that now? Amen. And God, and that morning we had water biscuits. We had water gravy. We had fried potatoes and white and red syrup. Amen. To sop our biscuits in. I'm telling you, that's the kind of mama I remember. I don't want to get away from that. that. I don't get away from that. All of her daughters more or less have gone the other way. They've gone, well, joined the denominational churches. They're still in church, but they don't know what my mama knew. Amen. I remember mama's prayers. I remember her worship. Amen. I remember her morals. Amen. How that she was offered money. Amen. But she refused the things to live for God. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 Step one, stop the worship. Change it around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Stop that business of an old woman get up over the side church one morning when I was having service. Say, amen. A man standing over here, a drunkard and backslid, bad shape. Amen. Standing trying to get people to pray. Nobody pray. And all of a sudden hear that little clap. Head back. Talking in tongues, shuffling of feet, dances up this way, dances over to the middle aisle, dances backwards back down that aisle, right down old Dale, just a little past him, then back up even with him. And Brother Hart, he broke and run to the altar. Hallelujah. Woo! That's what true worship will do. That's what true worship will do. Why would we want to give up on that? It may look foolish to the world, but it took the foolishest world to confound the wise. Amen. A wise person couldn't do that. There was no amount of speaking I could do that. There was nothing I could say that caused that. There was nothing anybody else could say could cause that. But the Holy Ghost could do it. And we need Him in our worship. And we need Him because we want to hold our moral standards high. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Now, for the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine, but after own lusts shall they heap themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. This old world, I told you before, Brother Paul Blanton said God spoke to him, and I feel like God spoke to me some time ago. I'd read people, writers would write, and they'd warn us. They'd say, but we're not in the apostasy yet, we don't think. But I want you to know, I felt like God spoke to me some time ago and said, you are in the apostasy. That great falling away. Amen. And falling away doesn't necessarily mean that you just backslide. It means you moved over from what you stood for. You move over from orthodoxy and piety. You just move over. James said, or was it John said something like this? They went out from us, but they're not of us. If they were out of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out from us that they might, whatever, be made manifest that they were not all of us. Oh, we're Pentecostal. We're just like you are. Hallelujah. I can't change you, but I can change me. But I want to stay where I'm at, don't you? Let's stand.